start putting it all around them. Just they'd be like, what about you? What have you? Then they go, wait, hold on.
But then, that's that whole I've had friends that I take it personal, you know?
Yeah.
Then they switch it back on you now. It's like Russian roulette.
I don't
But I mean, it goes back to what you said earlier. It's not what you say, it's how you say it.
It's how you say it. That's true.
You just got to keep in mind that. Yeah. You know,
you're attacking them. Like, no, you go. You go.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to this week's episode of Pal Talk Real Talk. We are
your hosts,
Henny and Emily.
Hi, Henny.
Hi, Emily. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. I am doing very good. Actually, it is a nice week. Weather's been fairly decent. A little windy, but nothing too...
It's the first time I think we have wind.
Yeah, you know, anything. February here has been a lot of snow. Like, we talked about it in the last episode, but, like, yeah.
It's gone
better. Winter has just dragged, and I think this has been the most exhausting February I have gone through in my entire life, and I've lived quite a while. I've lived a quarter century, and this is an exhausting February.
So. But March is coming, and it's March Madness. What? Besides that, though, something important.
Tis March Madness. Tis also the most important month of the year. It is my birth month.
Hey.
We are celebrating 31 days of me.
Yeah!
Hey. It's like 25 days of Christmas, but better.
That's true.
It's a holiday gift wrapped in one. It's me popping out of the cake, like ready to go. What's going on? Put the cherry on top of the bow and hand me a $500 million check. I'm yours.
Yeah. So, we said that in Henny's birthday that she's going to do a fun fact every single time, like every episode that we do. So, Henny, what is your first fun fact about you?
Fun fact about me? Well, if you didn't know, then allow me to let you guys know that once upon a time, I've always wanted to be a storm chaser.
What?
I thought that, you know, my life was destined to chase tornadoes. Like hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes. Out in the air. Third grade me was on top of it. Everybody wants to be a president stuff. No, I went to that class and I said, I want to be a storm chaser. Everybody looked at me. Like,
why?
Because I just was so fascinated with the idea of just nature. Like, honestly, it's really beautiful. Just the ideas of these, like, winds coming together. Even though it does prove, like, disastrous results.
Yeah.
I see the beauty in it. And I don't know why, but my, like, whole hormones and body just wants to chase a tornado. Like, it's jumping for it, you know?
Will you ever do it? Though
I tried to
wait.
Once upon a time back when I lived in when I lived in my old town, there was a tornado a warning that had come, and it was like at the edge of Owatonna, like the edge of it. And I was like, this is a sign. Drive to it, because I was driving from work to my house, and the weather was already bad, and I had watched enough movies to know what the weather looks like when it's about to be a tornado. You just know, and I felt it in my gut. I said, something's going on. So when they said tornado warning, tornado spotted down, you turned and went all the way to the place the tornado was gone. Yes, which really sucks about being a tornado chaser, you know? You win some, you lose some.
But that was your first experience.
That was my first experience. But it is okay, because I'll just have to live vicariously through all the trashy Netflix movies that I watch.
So, right or now. You know what? You never know in the future.
In the future.
It always...
In the future, I might be, you know, like,
able to chase a storm.
Yeah. Henny's the storm chaser part-time.
Hey.
Storm chaser full-time podcaster.
Hey. That's a fun fact.
That is a fun fact.
Thank you for your fun fact, Henny. That's your first fun fact.
And that is today's fun fact of the day for Henny. Beep.
So you want to get into the topic?
Yes. Since, you know.
That was a misadventure that you were on.
That is a misadventure. Yep. What a misadventure. A misadventure of a... I'm in my 20s, you know? Yep. Like, so these... I'm going to be experiencing a lot of misadventures now that I'm approaching my mid-20s. So I think that's a great segue into the topic that we're talking about, which is coincidentally titled The Misadventures of the Mid-20-Something.
Ooh.
And
we
like
have
that.
And we have two very special guests with us today. So, allow to introduce yourself.
Hi. I'll talk real talk. My name is Ahmed, and I'm here on the Misadventures.
Thank you for coming, Ahmed.
And hey, guys. My name is Fatima.
Hi, Fatima.
Hi.
Thanks. So, my first question for our guest, Fatima and Ahmed, would be, what is your misadventure that happened in your 20s?
Like, it could just be anything. Like, it could be a comical one, or honestly, just an L that you took trying to get at a girl, or, you know, just...
Numerous L's.
You know, you're in your 20s. Your 20s are the failure decade.
Decade?
What?
Sis, we trying to stop it.
The failure, mid-20s. The failure half decades.
Thank you. Yeah.
The failure half decades. That's where we'll go with. And so I feel like, yeah, we definitely all have some misadventures. I want to hear you guys' thoughts on some really cool ones.
So Fatima, what is your first misadventure? In your early 20s, right now, last year?
You know, I would say, and this might sound kind of boring, but with my career.
Oh.
Because I am someone who, like, I've known what I wanted to be since I was 8 years old. Oh, always wanted to be a doctor. Wanted to be an OBGYN.
Oh.
And up through until the very end, like the last semester of my undergrad, I was on that path. And then I got into mental health, and that completely changed my course.
What a good, I mean, like, I know you switched careers and all, but what a good area to switch into from OB-GYN to mental health, because I do think that we do need more mental health practitioners. Go on.
Yeah. So what made you interested in mental health?
Because I interned at a refugee resettlement agency, and during my last semester of undergrad, I went to St. Kate's for undergrad, and what I realized during the internship, because I did work with a lot of women and children that were coming in, like newly arrived from all over the world. But one thing I noticed is that they were all coming in with mental illness, like the adults and the kids. And so that kind of sparked my interest. I didn't know anything about mental health. All that I knew, honestly, was my exposure to it, working with those people and then helping them set up with services.
Oh, wow.
And so that was my introduction. And then from there, went on to grad school, and now I'm a mental health counselor, and it's completely different than what I set out to be in the beginning.
How did your parents feel about that?
You know, my parents honestly don't mind. They kind of like are supportive of whatever I want to do, but my brother is a doctor, and he and I were set out, like during undergrad, we used to study together, and we were on the same path, and he was a little disappointed because he's like, well, we were doing this together. What happened? But other than that, though, everything else is good.
Yeah.
Okay, what about you, Ahmed?
For me, I think, you know, going to school, getting a degree was awesome. You know, getting your first car is awesome. But then you got to think of the debt that comes along with all that. And then now you're working to pay that back. You know, I think that's been a big
misadventure.
Yes.
Do you regret going to school?
Sometimes I do, you know, not always, but like when you don't have that career job that you've always anticipated, then you look back and say, oh man, was it even worth it? Yeah. Was it even worth getting into all that debt?
I even tweeted it today, and like, I wish I had started my YouTube career. If we all would have known YouTube had the big money in the behind, like, I would have been on top of that instead of school, but
I wouldn't even know what type of content I would be creating for YouTube. If I really think about it, like,
I probably would have done conspiracy theories.
Yeah, think about all that money that you're paying back that you could have done now, you know? You could have invested in so much things. You know, I'm reading all these self-help books, and I'm learning about so much, you know, I never learned in school.
Isn't it? It's so true. I've learned so much in the real world experience. Like, I've learned that I wasn't able to get that experience in school, and film, TV, like mental health, all that stuff. Like, those are real world experiences that I learned just through participating in it and engaging.
Self-discovery?
And all that. And I was like, wow, like, I feel like I could have just not gone to school, and I could have just figured out my path. But then again, school allowed me to figure out what career path I wanted to go to, because I was able to dabble in all these different classes and stuff. It just was...
I would be the opposite of you two, because school shaped my identity. Like, to me, I would have never known what I liked and what I didn't like if it wasn't for school.
Right.
So to me, like, even though, like, the debt thing, I completely agree with you. Sometimes I regret it. But then at the same time, I'm like, I really love education.
All right. And I love learning. But the way that I don't like the traditional learning, you know.
That's true.
The exam, coming to class, attendance. I don't like that. I just... puts too much pressure into learning.
That's true.
You know.
So through these misadventures that you both mentioned, how has that shaped your self-image?
How has that shaped? I just feel like learning from your past, like right now, I probably would never go to grad school.
Oh, you went to grad school?
No, I would not go to grad school.
Okay, 100% you know, with
like,
you.
Like, there's no reason.
Undergrad is enough for me.
Undergrad is enough debt for me, you know.
Do your parents ever ask you to go to grad school?
No, not really. I don't think they even want to even care, you know, at this point.
But what about you?
For me, I would say that's a tough question. I definitely am a different person. Like, I've noticed changes in myself. Like, I'm more accepting of who I am as time goes on.
Oh, wow.
Because I used to be a very, like, strict person. And, like, you know, we were talking about earlier, if I didn't reach my goals, I was disappointed. If they didn't happen exactly when I wanted them to happen. But now I'm much more relaxed, going with the flow, you know, just being okay with being exposed to new things and then changing my course if I need to.
That's nice. I like that.
Actually, now that I think about it, going to school helped me because I met people that I never would have met. I made friends that I'm still close with to this day. Moving out of Otana, coming to the city, that whole exposure shaped who I am today.
It really is a culture shock.
Yeah,
really?
It's a big culture shock.
Huge culture shock.
Because we didn't have all these, like, just the food, for example. Chipotle. You know, we didn't
have... What? It was really? A pop?
We didn't have that.
Oh, Otana? We didn't have any of that.
Otana had a weird obsession with Chipotle. I will say that. It was weird. It was just Chipotle.
And they're like, no, it was very hyped then.
And it's not just Chipotle, Chick-fil-A, all these major fast food chains. I've never had it.
Bruh, the bus and the light rail were huge culture shocks.
Yeah. You know, I've never rode a city bus in Minneapolis.
No, really? What?
To this day, I've never rode any.
I remember the first time I went to Normandale, and it was it's a community college in Bloomington. And I remember I had class at 8 a.m. It was my first day, like the night before I just moved from Owatonna to my aunt's house. And I get to the bus at 7 o'clock, like 7 a.m. Because I knew that it's like an hour bus ride. And so I'm on the bus, I'm chilling my headphones. I see a bunch of school kids come in. I keep thinking, okay, these are they're Normandale kids. Mm-hmm. What's up? So I'm hanging around, and then I see them all like get off at a building, and I don't even know why I didn't put like two and two together, but so I get off at the building with them. Like, I get off at the stop with them, and then I realize this is not Normandale, this is a high school. And I was like, oh no. I didn't know how to use the app. Like Uber and Lyft, I don't think they were even back then. No. And I walked on the highway.
No way.
I walked on the highway. I was walking for maybe, like, I want to say 10 blocks before I finally gave in and was like, yeah, there's no way I'm going to get to my 8 a.m. class. I call my aunt and I say, can you pick me up? I'm on the highway. She's like, how are you on the highway? I was like, it's happening. I don't know how I got here. I just did.
So wow.
You're right.
Wow.
So yeah, that was a huge culture shock. I learned my lesson after that. I really had to rely on Google Maps and Apple Maps and stuff, because they have the bus times and tell you what bus to get off at. And that's the one I really paid attention to stops. But I've fallen asleep at buses before too, so.
Oh my, that's crazy.
I'm not exactly the most.
What was your culture shock moving from Owatonna to the cities?
Just seeing different people, like different diversities, you know, seeing different people from different nationalities, like from Tongo. For example, I met this guy.
You met a guy from Tongo?
Yeah, Togo, however you pronounce that country.
Oh, Togo, yeah.
Togo, like, wow, I'm like, damn, you know? Really? And like, Oromos, we never had Oromos in Otana.
We didn't.
Or like Ethiopians, like these different nationalities I'd never been exposed to. And we had little
African
Americans.
I know, it doesn't fit. Because I'm from the city.
It really is. And then come here and then you learn so much about yourself too.
That's so
cool. I was gonna say, are the Somalis in Otana, like, is there a difference between the Somalis in cities and the Somalis in Otana? Was that like, or they felt the same to you?
I'll let you go first.
No, you can go ahead.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, just because we know each other in Otana, I guess it's different. You know, we have that family relationship. Yeah. You know, you come to the city, it's kind of like you gotta pick and choose who you're friends with. You know, you never know what crowd you could be into. So that was very important. You know, just identifying yourself and being like street smart and be able to navigate who you're, you know, associate with. I think that's important.
That was like for me at the U, like figuring out how clicky the U was. Arabic, I had an Arabic course, and I saw for the first time, it was like, I think it was my third Arabic class, I saw some other people and I said, oh my God, finally. And they looked at me like, nah, it ain't happening. They all blocked each other off. And I was like, dang, okay, I see how it is.
For me though, like if I see a small person, I'm naturally like,
I'm happy.
Engaging,
yeah, because,
you know, I feel comfortable approaching them. You know, if I say, oh shit, Somali, you know,
the common ground.
Yeah, it's easy for you to like befriend them. So
it's not like that.
I know it's easier to like be friends with someone that you've had in a classroom. If you meet them in the classroom, it's easier for you to make that friendship rather than just approach randoms.
It must be a male thing,
cause really?
Like, yeah, because the girls weren't really that friendly at the U.
I feel like girls are judgy though. They just judge each other. Oh,
if you ain't,
what is she wearing? Or like her outfit? Oh, like
it was the littlest thing. It's like, honestly, I don't know. I was just saying, but it was just really hard to adjust to at first. Small town to big city. It felt like you were moving. And I don't know. To me, it felt like
I feel like the image that I keep seeing is me moving. No, it's the beginning of Will Smith when he shows up to the house in the intro.
Oh man, yeah. You know what? Actually, it's funny that you brought that up, because when I moved to the city and I'll drive near that, you know, when you go into like 35 North, and then you see that, like the sky. I would always Snapchat that. Like whenever I'm driving,
that
I always.
That's a beautiful spot.
Yeah,
though.
That's like incredible. You know,
like
I love it.
To this day, I do it. I've heard that other people. Have you guys seen?
You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
experiences contribute to the evolution of your self-image through like these misadventures? Like, for example, the culture differences in the cities would be one. You with your mental health, like, is there anything that like contributed heavily to your self-image and adjusting from cities?
Yeah, I think it did help me a lot, you know, because had I been just in Otana, I think I would have been totally different, you know.
How so?
I would have been like small-minded, you know. I would not be where I am today. It's like as far as like being comfortable meeting different people. You know, at times like when I moved to the city, it was 2013, and that song No New Friends was popping, you know. Everyone was like, I ain't messing with you, you know what I mean? But that whole like mindset completely changed. I moved to the city. I'm like, yo, that's crazy. Like, it's dumb. Like, you have to meet different people, mm-hmm. meet new friends. You know, all the time I feel like the guys are just they're just in that circle.
That's my crew.
Yeah. But if you get out, and then those who did move could relate to what I'm saying, you know, when you get out and then you could, you know, step out of your comfort zone. Mm.
That's like transferring schools also. Like going from like Normandale to the U, that's like a different experience. Because you just, for the U, taught me independence. Like, I had none at all when I was at Normandale. Like, I just like, oh, it's my friends. I have classes with them. All of a sudden, like, I went to a new school. It's bigger than what I was used to. And then all of a sudden, I learned how to be independent. And I'm so glad
I did. Man, actually, I agree. Wallahi. Because
solitude became my best friend.
I agree with you. Because I was there, you know, yeah, mama cooking food, you know. Depending on that, you know, my mom doing my laundry. You know, I'm ashamed to admit, you know. But, you
know. It's okay. You lived at home.
So. Moving to the city, like, now it's like, oh shit, you're on your own, you have to figure that out. And I'm glad I experienced that too, because I agree, the independence thing I never had, just learn to be just to survive, was a big challenge, and I'm glad that I went through that.
What about you?
For me, especially with working in mental health, it's crazy, because I spend all day at work meeting with people with mental illness, and then I can't turn that off when I leave.
Oh,
because I'm constantly finding myself like scanning people, watching them, you know, reading their body language, like doing what I do at work when I'm out of work, right? Mm-hmm. And then like I'm thinking about, so, like, when it pertains to me, like, and my self-image, I think a lot of what, like, I think more about what I do, why I do the things that I do, why I say the things that I say. That's how that has changed me. And I have a certain awareness of myself now that I didn't have before. Mm. I worked in mental health because I learned so much.
So what age were you able to have this self-awareness? You just say that it was around the time that you were working
with the refugees?
Working with the refugees.
No. So I was 21 when I did. I was 23 when I really started to like feel comfortable with it, because I learned a lot more over the 2 years. And then ever since then, I've been working in it. Mm-hmm. But I've learned so much, because there is so much to learn about mental health. Mm. And so for me, like, the first couple of years was just learning more about mental illness and, you know, mental health in general. And then once I got comfortable in it, then that's when that really started to kick in.
You were talking about how in the beginning you were like critical on your goals. Mm-hmm. Do you think that, because it looks like it transferred into a different area though.
Are you still critical of those goals even though you switched career paths?
No, because I have long-term goals, but I don't have a strict timeline.
Oh.
That's the difference between now and then, because I still have goals, but back then, like, I knew exactly what I wanted to achieve and when I wanted to achieve it, whereas now I'm more flexible with the timeline.
What made you flexible with it? Like, I would say, because you were critical on like, oh, I have a set deadline. Mm-hmm. Like, what changed you to become like more comfortable with which the timeline differences now?
My experiences. I feel like what has shaped my career and my self-image and just everything in general is I've learned that as time goes on, the more I go with the flow, the more I gain experiences that actually like are meaningful. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like if I stick to that timeline,
you're not living
in some way, like creating a barrier between me and the experiences. Okay. If that makes sense.
Wow.
I like that.
Good. Yeah.
I never thought about that.
So I don't want, it's kind of like blocking your blessings, right?
Yeah, in a way, yeah.
Don't want to block it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah, so that's why I'm not so strict on the time. Notes.
I will write in my notes. No, that's really great, because I never thought about how, because you're like, you do lose value of the experiences that you're having. Mm-hmm. That's so true.
Yeah.
If you're so hard on yourself and you are focused on just the goal and when you want to achieve it. You know what I mean?
You're not enjoying the, what did they say, the journey?
The ride.
The journey.
I had to learn that too, don't worry.
That's so true, man.
I relate to you, the whole critical stuff, and I'm like, man, I know what she's talking about.
I'm glad you understand.
Because it's a huge disappointment when it's like, oh, I said I was going to do this, and then I didn't do it, and I'm like, okay, you know what? I've learned to, like I was saying earlier, like maneuver around stuff, but still have the same set of goals. Mm-hmm. Like, just don't be disappointed by how life goes, just everything happens for a reason.
Yeah,
and that is so true.
And there are still things to be proud of, you know?
Do you have a motto that keeps you going?
Not really. No, not. There's no motto.
Okay.
I just kind of go with the flow.
I like that.
Yeah.
Do you have a motto
that keeps you? Everything happens for a reason, you know.
Really?
That's cliche.
Are you really using that one?
I mean, it's cliche, but it's so true, you know? Like, everything's written. Like, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
You know? Everything's written for you. Like, before you were born, you know, before your dad, parents were born.
Everything is all written.
When you look at life that way, then you can accept disappointments, hardships, whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever that comes in your way, you can accept it.
I think there's a motto that you have, though.
What is it?
As a friend.
Yeah. What's his motto?
Self-care. I think that's important. Taking care of yourself. Mental clarity.
How do you do that?
Just stepping away, you know. Solitude is very important. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to be psychologically dependent on anyone. And when that happens, then you kind of lose sight of who you are. So it's very important for me to rediscover myself. As an introvert, I can't be around
too many people.
Too many people. Like, I have to step away.
And how has that path of self-discovery been for you so far?
It helps a lot, you know. You appreciate people more,
mm-hmm.
you know. Because if you're around someone for so long and it's like...
It
loses value because it's kind of hard to distance yourself
mm-hmm.
without being like the selfish guy or whatever, you know. So for me, you know, having that conversation with someone and like... It's always been hard for me, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if you have that friend that's understanding, you know, it's nice to just step away. That's how I...
How do you step away? Like, give me an example of a situation and you just were like, you know what? I'm better off if I just stepped off and then like came back into it with a fresher head.
Just ask for a break. Simple.
From the person?
Yeah. Just ask for a break. Just be still.
How do they not take it personal?
Yeah.
Well, it's not what you say. It's how you say it.
How do you say it? Walk us through this run so I can learn a little something.
I mean...
Are you talking about relationships? Are you talking about friendships?
I mean, just like, in
general. Just overall?
Just overall.
Okay, yeah. So say you were talking to a friend. Henny's your friend,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And you and Henny have been spending too much time together and you're mm-hmm. like, man... Like, it's way too much.
Henny is annoying me.
See, right now, I value Henny's friendship because we don't see each other.
Yeah.
You know? I probably only last time I saw you, like, maybe college.
Sometime you know? In college.
So
yeah.
It's like, I have this energy right now, you mm-hmm. know? Because I haven't seen Henny or you, you know? So that's, if I hang out with someone, like, every day, then it's like this repetitive replay cycle.
I used to have a problem with stuff like that when I had a sense of when I was spending time with someone too much that it felt like it was almost suffocating me.
Yes.
And when I was younger, I felt like I didn't know how to communicate in a way, hey, I need some space.
Mm-hmm.
So like my only way to go just to completely ignore him, at all path.
Yeah.
And it was 100% ghosting. Mm-hmm. And I realized maybe a few years later that I didn't consider their feelings. Mm-hmm. I really only considered mine. And I only said to myself, like, I don't think you understand. Like, I feel like I'm being trapped and wrapped around a ball. Like, it's literally that suffocating to me. And I just didn't know how to say, hey, like, you need to give me a few days to just kind of be with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I've had to learn how to, and I think I'm still learning how to communicate that. Because I think I still struggle with stuff like that. Sometimes I don't know how to communicate that. And so I want to be able to understand because I've never been on the receiving end of it. So I have to consider those people's feelings. I want to be able to understand how to go about it in the most effective way without
hurting
their feelings. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Do you think that has to do with good company and bad company? I have the same experiences where I'm like, if I was hanging out with somebody too much, it's because usually like I didn't like their company. Like now, like I can spend a lot of time with Henny and I still like... will not be annoyed or any type of I will not, because it's like I want to continue hanging out with her because I like our friendship.
I just have that infectious personality.
I know you
I
can't do.
Yeah, it does make a difference if you're around negativity. It's very genuine.
There's a huge difference between like good friends and having bad friends.
Yeah,
because I'm like I didn't know how to like when I was younger I was in my early 20s, I just like knew I had bad friends. And I just did, I knew in my soul, like I sensed that I did not want to hang out with nobody. I was just like, no, I would always have an excuse to be like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do this. So I just knew in my soul, like I was like, you know what? But I've always listened to myself though. I was like, if I don't like something, I never go near it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's just me. I'm like, nope.
Trust your gut feeling.
Yeah, because you have to listen to yourself. Yeah. But now that I have good friends, alhamdulillah, like I can spend as much time as with them. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's still, I want to hang out with them more and more and more. All
right. I guess between you and Henny, you guys grew up with each other. So it's kind of...
No, and Malay and I were pretty... We weren't really that close, to be honest. Because
I was hanging out with Huda a lot
more. Hang out with, people her age at the time. Because no one wanted to hang out with people who were like a year younger.
Younger than them.
I don't know what it was. We were just like, oh, she's in ninth grade? No.
I felt the same way.
But why do girls feel that they can't date someone?
I have no idea.
You know,
date somebody younger?
Yeah, even if it's a year apart.
Date somebody younger? I don't know.
And I want to be the baby.
Because I took someone else in that, you know?
They'd be like, oh, you too young?
You too young, boy.
Like, what's the oldest you try to get at somebody? Like,
I mean, now it doesn't really matter. When
no,
you're
but at the day, like at the time.
But back then, if you're like...
18, 19, they're like, you're still 18, I can't talk to you.
Or even like 17, 19, you know?
I don't know, there's...
17, 19.
Yeah.
That's way too...
Is that too young?
Way too young. 17.
I mean, I guess you're still...
At this age?
No, I'm saying 19. Like, if the girl was 19 and he was 17...
Yeah, that's too young.
That's way too young. Because still technically a minor.
Yeah.
But...
Somebody's creeping. I'm calling 911.
What about a year younger, though?
I don't know what it was.
Now it's
when
okay.
I was younger, like when I was in my late 20s and my late teens and stuff, I was like, no, absolutely would never date somebody who was younger than me by a year or anything like that. Not even 3 months. I wouldn't allow it. Like, I don't know why I was just so picky with stuff like that. But now it's like we're all in our 20s, it just feels the same. Blend in. I just sort of just kind of like, yeah, I vibe with this person and I connect with them on a level of that's beyond just, you know, physical and all that stuff. Then I'm willing to look past that. That's not even a burner at that point. Like, if you get along with someone, you guys really connect, even on a friendship basis, a relationship or whatever, you won't even really realize their age. You'll be like, oh, it's you're really that age on their birthday, and then you just be like, oh, okay, the next day, you just move on. Because, as 20-somethings, you're all still struggling. And
I feel like we all share the same experiences in our 20s, so it just all feels the same.
Yeah, it does.
I agree.
Earlier, I was on the phone with you, and then you were like... Yeah, like we're talking about like 25 years. I'm like, yeah, like, girl, you're like what? You're younger than me? Shut up. Call me old.
I said, yeah, y'all. I was like, hold up. You're you're a year younger. And I said, oh, my bad. Y'all.
So, you know, we're all in our mid 20s. What is an advice? Or something that you would have done differently at a younger age? If there was a mistake that you made or anything like that, like, yeah,
I would have said, learn discipline. Like, that's the biggest thing I struggled with. It's, like, my discipline. So I would say learn how to be more disciplined so you can, like, focus more on your work. Mm-hmm. Versus, because it was so easy just to be like, I'm going to do my homework, and I'm going to go on the internet, I'm going to do my homework. And it was just, and then, I don't know, because as you get older, you need to be disciplined in your work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I would probably work on being disciplined. Mm-hmm. What about you, Fatima?
I would say along the same lines, prioritizing. Because I feel like, especially, I mean, in the 20s, I feel like some people feel like they have to cut one part of their life out for the other. You either have a social life or you're a career, right? And there's no in between. And I feel like you can have it all. You just have to prioritize.
Mm-hmm. It's a mix of both prioritizing what's needed and what's important, and also like setting myself, giving myself deadlines and allowing myself to do that in order to benefit myself.
I mean, I kind of agree with all of you. That's true. You know, prioritizing was big for me too, you know.
Ahmed, I would say, how is your experiences as a young man, like evolving as a young man from your early 20s to your age right now? He's 25, so you're mid.
I feel like I never had patience, you know.
You never had patience?
Nah, I never had patience. If someone was outside and I was outside the house, you know, texting me, hey, I'm outside, come out. And it took too long, I was scared.
Oh my gosh.
I was that guy. I feel like... That set me back from a lot. But I'm growing now. I realized like that's very, very important. Just having that patience with someone and like not reacting on impulse too.
Mm-hmm. How do you think, what do you think that young men that we don't personally like know about, like either dating wise or friendship wise, what do you think that we could be more patient with with men and young boys growing up?
The expectation. I feel women put too much expectation on guys, like as like really as far as relationship goes. Mm-hmm. The talking stages could be like too long, and they might feel like you know what I mean.
When you say too long, like what do you mean too long?
I mean, there should never be a time frame. You know, you
for
know,
talking stage,
you yeah. can't expect yourself gonna, to move into dating.
How long you need to talk?
I mean, you'll know. You know, there's no time. It could be a month. It could be 3 months. It could be a year.
Bruh.
I mean,
goodness.
Well, actually, not time. Not the talking stages, but the friendship stages. People skip the friendship phases.
Without a doubt, I agree.
Like, I feel like when you don't know each other as friends, there's no way you could get along. Like,
I understand the friendship thing. But I feel like maybe if your intentions are to date somebody or wanting to date somebody, you having that friendship state, aren't you worried about them friend zoning you at some point? Aren't you worried that, if I keep treating this like as a friend, if I keep talking to her as a friend and stuff, she's just going to think of me that even though I want to romantically be involved with her?
I don't mind being the friend zone. I mean,
you know what?
If your intentions is to be at the end of the day to have a romantic relationship with this girl and you want to start off as a friend, how do you transition into that then?
I mean, obviously there's flirtation, you flirt, whatever. And then they get the signal that it's want to be more than just friends, you know?
Okay.
But
would you let her know, like, hey, even though, like, I want to start off as a friend, I just wanted to let you know the end.
That's I'm attracted
not
my, to you.
Yeah,
like, that's not my end result
yeah,
story.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I do set that intentions. I make that clear. But I also don't want to be, like, pressured to be in that relationship just because they set this time in their head where, like, it's now or never, you know? So that's very important for me. I don't like to be
pressured
to anything, you know? I can't speak for guys, but that's just...
Do you believe the whole pressure situation comes from you being used to be married?
I do, because that did change a lot. I've had this fantasy of, like, being in love with the idea of marriage. Coming home to your wife and having a long day of work.
Still see it in his eyes.
You know? So...
I
didn't really know anything about marriage.
Ahmed like, is in the mood. He's like,
I had no idea what marriage was. I don't know about the commitment that came along with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a fairy tale.
Yeah, oh, really?
So I took a step back, you know, like, yo, I'm not ready for any of that. So if a girl doesn't bring up marriage in the talking stages, I feel like
it's too soon. Does that scare you?
It does scare me, you know, because then it's like you have to extend or like expedite the talking stages, you know? Whereas, like, if you're just naturally just friends, then you can just be yourself, you know what I mean? And, like, not...
So you feel a lot of pressure towards that, and then it's sort of just like, no, I need to push back.
I need a...
Do you tell, since, like, on her end, if she doesn't know about your situation and you being used to be married and the whole pressure situation, do you tell them that from the jump so they understand, hey, like, I've done this before, I've learned what I've learned from it, and I want to take my time this time and just get to know somebody, make sure that I'm doing the right choice for myself.
It depends. I mean, I'm not right away. If I just, you know, if I get comfortable enough to tell you that, you know, I will. You know, I'm not the guy that just tell my business, you know.
Yeah.
I don't care if you talk for whatever, how long. Whenever I feel comfortable enough, I'll, you know, I do bring that up.
You wouldn't necessarily do it when you're, like, in a talking stage with a person. You would do it when you're actively dating that person on an exclusive level, right? Where you're each other's boyfriend, girlfriend.
I think he would have to say before you guys are official. That's the most important part.
Yeah.
Because if you go into it like, oh, we're boyfriend and girlfriend, and be like, hey, by the way, like, this happened before, then that's kind of not fair to the person.
I guess I should have clarified what I was... Yeah. But you kind of took what I was going to say.
You had it.
But yeah, but there's a time frame for you to do it. I mean, like, it's kind of like a third date thing. Or like,
I think whenever Ahmed is comfortable.
It's just whenever you're comfortable.
Yeah, I don't really consider it dates, you know. I just, whenever we're just hanging out,
you just call it hanging out.
Come out, you don't take people on dates?
I mean, well, I do, but
you
I don't
just
consider
hit her up 2 in the morning.
No. Are you up? Nah.
What'd you do
with it? No. I mean, like, I don't like to think of it as a date because then it's like this pressure thing.
Okay.
I stay away from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to just think of it as a day, just hanging out, you know, as friends.
Mm-hmm. But if she says to other people that you guys are dating, then are you going to be okay with that? Because you're insinuanting to me that, like, you want it to be a casual thing. Do you talk about this, that you say you want to be casual with this person to the girl that you're talking to? If you were dating this girl and you thought things were casual and she was thinking, no, we're dating, isn't there a level of communication that you would want to put out?
Yeah.
So that both you guys know what page you're on? Because if you're saying that, like,
If you're saying right now it's just everything is casual, and she's saying,
oh, we've been on like 3 dates.
We've been on 3 or 4 dates. Yeah. You know, we've been kicking it.
Do you clarify to them that you're hanging out or like this is a date?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I mean, I'm a straight up guy or a straightforward guy.
I like honesty. You know, I
try to be honest. You know, cause I hate lies. I hate that shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's very deceiving. You don't know anyone they lie. Mm-hmm. You know, so I try to be straightforward, you know.
How has marriage, being used to be married, how has that shaped your dating life now?
I'm very patient now. I'm like, I take my time with everything. Like, that's the thing I was talking about. I don't rush anything now.
Yeah. You know? So, Ahmed, how has marriage shaped your journey? Like, dating-wise, friendship-wise, what do you know now that you are more cautious of today?
Patience. You know, I feel like patience is very important. I didn't have that, you know? And asking the right questions. Not shying away from uncomfortable questions, you know? I feel like those are important. You know, make sure that they're the right person in a way that, like, you could feel comfortable discussing anything. Nothing's off topic, you know.
Because I think finances would be a scary conversation to have
with
somebody.
It is. Like,
I finance, worry about that.
Finances is, you know. Like,
should I tell how much I'm really making?
I mean, that's not important. Just how you handle finances. Are you are you a spender?
Because at that point, you're filing joint.
Yeah. Like, are you a spender? Are you a saver? Like, how do you manage money?
I have a question. Should I have my own account or is it a joint account? And if I do have my own account, should I have to tell my husband that I have a separate account?
That's all questions that you,
Need to ask.
Yeah.
You
know? These are the questions.
I would 100% have my own account and then have a joint bank account. It's the smartest thing to do.
I mean,
do.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense, right?
To have my own account,
because you've been making your own bread and not suddenly like you have to mingle that together.
The joint account's for the bills. If it zeroes out, then that it is what it is. Yeah. We're on our own.
Like joint account is for responsibilities. Mm-hmm. My own account is like, I want to spend my money, I'm going to spend it.
Yeah.
Things that are important to me.
Yeah. Finances, solitude, how do you handle alone time? How do you handle when you're upset and angry? Like, what do you need to like...
I never thought about that.
Well, I guess, did you feel like maybe it was because there wasn't enough time for you to actually really get to know that person?
Mm-hmm.
Or you kind of felt like it was just all too quick?
Yes.
That's where it was? Because if you had this been, like, at least long-term...
Yes. But I mean, like, just being friends, you know? Because it's easier to have these discussions when you're just friends.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah, you do believe in the element of, like, having a friendship before...
Yeah.
Because if you don't have a friendship, imagine how boring things are.
Yeah.
Like, I just always think about that, like, it's so boring because you're just like, oh, I'm physically attracted to you.
That gets old, though. Like, that whole...
It's like, what do you like to do?
Yeah. Like, what's your hobbies? Like, what do you like to do on your own alone time? You know what I mean?
I think you brought up a good point about the whole solitude thing because that's something that I never... In the mornings, my rule in my house is don't come to me in the mornings. Mm-hmm. Like, I need my mornings to myself.
Yeah.
And my family will like, I need this. And I'm like, no.
I'm like that.
Two hours to myself is what I need.
I'm like that, too.
Because I can't. It's like I have to set my morning right and then just be like, okay, cool. Right. Like, browse through. Just let me be me and then I'll come to y'all.
Like, a long day from work for me, coming home to you. Like, I need a time, like, I want to lay down. I want to, like,
chill.
I don't want to do anything, you know? Like, mm-hmm. So when you're into that, you know, a marriage circle is different. Now it's like you have to give your attention to that person.
Mm. I think, do you think also it has to come with like family dynamics? Like, I have a big family. So it's like, to me, solitude is important because I have a huge family. I've always grown up with a lot of siblings. Mm-hmm. So now I'm just like, yo, I love space.
Yeah.
Like, I love it so much. Yeah. So do you think that's a discussion I need to have to be like, hey, by the way, as much as that, I like my mornings to myself a lot. And then like after work, probably like give me 30 minutes later.
Yeah, talk about it.
Yeah.
Talk about it. It's uncomfortable, right? You don't want
to
feel like...
It is, because you're just like, I don't want to be mean to
you. Yeah, you don't want to be mean. You don't want to feel like you're pushing them away.
Yeah.
But,
don't take it personal.
But do not take it personal. If they do take it personal, then they make it about themselves. And
there just has to be a way of a level of communication, in which case you have to be sincere enough that you're not actively hurting that person's feelings, but also trying to be direct where you lay down exactly how you want it, but in the most thoughtful way.
Yeah, most thoughtful way.
I always say, like, hey, I'm not my best self if I don't get some time to myself.
I'm not you.
Always gotta love my family. I'm like, I'm gonna be angry all day because I'm thinking about the time that I lost. So I'm like, I'm not myself if I don't take care of me and my priorities first, then I can come to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Never thought that's something I would have. Now it's we're learning something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, solitude, finances, those are all important things that I talk about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to get to know you on that level.
Mm-hmm.
What's this Curtis score like?
You run into that Curtis score.
Nah. Well, Ahmed, it was nice going on a date with you. I'm good.
Can you imagine somebody asked you for your Curtis score date one? I would be like,
I was like, you trying to help me out?
What are we insulting today? Like, what's the deal?
So I know that Fatima is your friend who helped you out through your whole, you discovered, did you help him out before or after marriage?
It was after.
It was mostly after. Mm-hmm.
So you guys knew each other for quite a while before then?
We knew each other quite a while, but we didn't talk until like afterwards. Mm-hmm. We met like on Facebook.
Yeah. We were Facebook friends for like 7 years.
Yeah.
And then we met in person after.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
His marriage ended, yeah.
So how did you contribute to him as a friend, like as a female friend? Like, just how did you help Ahmed like kind of discover himself and grow as like after the whole marriage?
Just by being there for him, really. I mean, I feel like people forget that sometimes people just need to be listened to. Mm-hmm. Just lending an ear and listening. I mean, you don't always have to give your advice or your input. Just listen. And oftentimes people will come to their own conclusions.
That's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it helps a lot when you lend your ear and you're not judgmental, mm-hmm. right? And you're just there for your friend.
That's nice. Yeah. I like that.
And people, like, as guys, mm-hmm. I've always grown up thinking like this. It's so hard to be friends with the girl.
You know, really? Because you don't sex. Believe, did you, is it because you
didn't yeah, it's like, that I feel men like there's always that attraction, friends? You know? But when I met Philip, I was like, oh, damn, this is actually possible. You know, you can have an intellectual conversation.
I said that men and women can be friends and have a platonic friendship, a platonic relationship where romantic feelings are not involved.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and, you know, a Malay begs to differ, but I said what I said, and men and women can most definitely be friends.
Yeah. And they can. I feel like it's rare. Mm-hmm. I will say that. It's really rare. It's hard to find those friendships, but they can exist.
Yeah.
Did you guys outwardly say to each other that, like, that you guys wanted to just be friends? Like, you laid out, hey, we're just friends and that's that? Or you could just talk and stuff and there's no need to say that. It's just,
I think it is what it is. If you're not attracted to the person, like, you could be friends with them. Like, if you're instantly attracted to somebody physically right away, that's not your friend. At the end of the day, it won't be your friend. That's not your end goal.
Yeah,
that's how I see it as.
That's true.
But, I mean, I feel like as long as it goes back to what you said, like, if you both keep it in mind that you're just friends, then it can happen.
I also think men and women can't spend too much time together.
What?
They can't. Like, if you spend so much time with somebody, eventually somebody's going to fall for somebody.
I disagree.
Because you're going to start liking them as a person.
I am so glad that this is a 3-1 fight for the first time. Bring, bring.
Congratulations. But
I mean, as long as it's the understanding, you know what I mean? Like,
even if there's understanding, like, the way I'm with Henny as my female friend, I'm not with that with my male friends.
Of course.
Because you and I, like, we spend a lot of time together. We talk a lot. You know what I mean?
But I have male friends. I have male friends that I consider just friends.
Like, on your end.
I mean, me and Fatima will go like months without seeing each other, or even like.
See, that's okay.
So it's not like we hang out every day. Yeah. We don't, you know.
I guarantee you it.
And then that's why I think I appreciate our friendship even more. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Going back to that solitude thing, you know, what I mean, like not seeing someone.
You like the space that you get for yourself.
Ahmed and I agree. Love my time. I like that too.
I like my
not
time.
Anymore though.
Like my childhood friends, when we all get together, you know, like in summertime. I love it. You know, you don't see these guys.
That's
you know,
true.
We hoop, we talk, we chill. You know.
So how has Fatima helped you out as, like, a guy? Do you think that other guys, do they need a female perspective in your life?
In a companion form?
I do, because as guys, we just give biased advice, you know? Oh, yeah, you're always right. Yeah, man, you know, like...
Oh, they don't think about...
We tend to just agree with, you know what I mean, our male counterparts. But, like, if you listen to a woman's perspective, you're not always right, you know? Like, you can hear unbiased, you know, discussions...
From both sides. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I do believe that it did help me, you know. Just seeing, well, then I looking back, I realized, oh, shit, I wasn't always right, you know. Like, I got a different perspective, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So she was able to see your wrongdoings, like, what
you're
wrong.
Yeah, yeah. She was giving, a neutral answer, you know. Because it's easy to just sugarcoat and just get what you want to hear, you know.
Oh.
So she wasn't like that, though.
And you're able to use the advices that Fatima gave you to incorporate into your, you know, active dating lifestyle or talking stage lifestyle to the girls that you try to chop up with.
I think so. I mean, that's important too.
That's growth.
Yeah,
and I like that. It's growth.
Yeah.
Fatima, what advice would you give to a guy who's in his similar situation?
I would say it's okay to be vulnerable and just acknowledge your feelings.
How does somebody acknowledge their feelings?
Just admit when they're feeling sad, right?
Mm-hmm.
when they're frustrated, like, just admit that you're feeling a certain way mm-hmm. and acknowledge it, because the more you hold it in, it bottles up. And it kind of, I mean, it goes back to, you know, talking to your guy friends. And I feel like with girls, it's the same way, right? Like, guys understand each other, so they're going to see nothing wrong with what they do. Same thing with girls. Oh, like, yeah. You know, girlfriends will say, oh, no, you were right. He was wrong, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that guys, I feel like they feel the need to be macho yeah. to one another mm-hmm. and not really be honest about how they're feeling. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the one benefit of having, like, a friend of the opposite mm. sex. Like, you can be more open about that mm-hmm. and not feel judged.
How can guys, this is a question for both of you guys, mm-hmm. how can guys be able to have a deeper connect, even though, like, let's say me and Henny are, like, two dudes that have been friends for a long time, but mm-hmm. we never talk about, like, deeper stuff. Mm-hmm. How do guys open that door up for their friends to, like, talk about things that are deeper than whatever
the real stuff? Shit.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on, like, the friendship level. You know, I mean, there's a show shit and there's friends, you know? Mm-hmm. My childhood friends, you know, I could talk to them about anything. We're more understanding. We could be more vulnerable. Ego gets in the way of sometimes, you know, being prideful, not admitting vulnerability, like Fadlu mentioned. Like, have that friend that you can, you know what I mean, talk about things that are sensitive or, like, how you're feeling. I think that does shape or make it easier to
talk about the deeper stuff.
Yeah.
What is one way, like, a guy can tell his friends, like, he's going through something? How can they can open the door? It's just, like, let's say it's just two guys that are friends, and then one of them's, like, going through something, and then he keeps it to himself a lot more. Yeah. So how can he open up to his friends to be like, hey, like, how does that conversation go for him?
It just comes, like, you know, like parking lot conversations, car parked.
You know, the best.
Like, mm-hmm. those conversations are nice, you know what I mean? You could talk about whatever. The atmosphere, it's easier to talk. Even, like, late nights or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, yo, man, like...
It just opens.
It just opens naturally, you know what I mean? There's no way to really talk about
it. That heart-to-heart conversation yeah. just comes out of nowhere.
It just comes naturally, I feel.
Okay. What if his friend shuts down the conversation and then that, like, discourages him? How can he himself, because you're in mental health, mm-hmm. how can he, like, open up more... with, like, learn vulnerability within himself? Like, what is, like, one advice you would give?
I would say, like, so if he does have a if a guy does have a friend that shuts it down, mm-hmm. I would say don't shut down. Like, don't cause for that to shut you down completely from opening up to other people, because that's just that one friend, mm-hmm. right? You never know how your next friend is going to take it. Let's say you have multiple friends, right? Mm-hmm. Like, just keep trying until you find that one person that you do connect with.
That's beautiful. I like mm-hmm. that.
And the longevity thing, like... If you have a friend that I've known for a long time, that naturally just, it's easier to discuss certain things like that.
That's
you
true.
Know, like day one friends, for example, you know, you can hit them up.
It's about his day ones.
Yeah. So hit them up, you know, it doesn't matter where they are in the world, somewhere all over the place. Now, you know, just talking to them.
Do you think it gets easier with age?
Yeah.
Like, as you get older, it's yeah. easier just to open up with your friends?
Yeah.
It was harder for you when you were younger to have the heart-to-heart conversation with your
yeah,
boys?
Because you didn't really know what you were feeling, even in your early 20s. You don't know what you were going through because mm-hmm. of the lack of experience.
Emotions are a misadventure. I will say that.
They are.
They really are.
But once you go through that, you know, like, how you feel, like, what you're going through. You could, like, verbalize it better.
That's true. I think it was, for me personally, like, one of the misadventures with my emotions is, like, I didn't have really good friends growing up, so I just kept everything to myself. And then it was, like, little by little, as I got older, I was like, oh, it's okay to tell my friends these things. Because I never got to share those, like, if I was going through something or I had something good going on, I just didn't have the friendships to, like, go on and tell. So I just used to keep everything to myself. If something bothered me, I was like, I'll figure it out. It's all on me. But now I'm, like, learning, like, I have friends I can tell, like, it could be the smallest thing. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, oh my God, guess what happened today? Yeah. Like, it's exciting.
You know, and another thing to keep in mind, and I learned this from working in the mental health field, is, and it goes back to not shutting down when someone kind of shuts you out, is to not take it personal. Because I feel like a lot of times people do take it personal, and that causes them to shut down. But just remember and understand that that's how they handle things. Mm-hmm. It's nothing personal to you, and nothing that you said mm-hmm. like was the problem. It's really just their reaction. It's how they handle things.
It seems like it's an underlining conflict within themselves that they just don't want mm-hmm. to address within themselves. So they're like, I don't want to hear it. Like,
so they choose to shut it out.
Yeah. So they're like, this is too much. I don't want to hear this. Mm-hmm. Probably.
I mean, we've all been guilty of that, though, right?
Yeah, like, but
when you're overwhelmed or, like, over flooded with so much stuff mm-hmm. from a person, you know what I mean? Even though you're friends with this person, but you're constantly...
The energy is too much.
Yeah, it's just too much to, like, you know,
then at
take
some
in.
Point,
you have a certain, like, capacity that you take. Mm-hmm. And when that's overfilled, then you need, like, oh, I need to step back. Mm-hmm. And how do you, like, talk about that, though? Like, I've always struggled with that. How do you get engaged in a way that's like, you're not trying to push them away, but you also want your mental clarity.
Listening, because listening is not about yourself, it's about them. So when you're able to like listen to somebody, like I like how you said, just like being able to just listen, you don't have to, I learned not to like give advice. I'm just like, oh, they don't want advice, they just want me to just to hear about it.
And like a vent section,
they're just like, hey, and I'm like, it's like with my older sister, I know that she wants me to be more of an ear to listen to than me to give her advice. So that's how you just like know about it.
But what if you,
but how do you communicate that to that person, like, this is a lot for me to process, like, I just need
that's
to.
What I'm saying, like, when you have overpass,
when it's just too much,
yeah,
it's overwhelming,
like,
yeah.
You should just
how do you
be like,
engage that.
How do you engage that?
Yeah, it's overwhelming. I mean, and I do agree with you when you say that, you know, sometimes it is just listening, because I feel like you start to feel overwhelmed when you feel the burden on your shoulders that you need to reply, right? Mm. Like, you don't always need to reply. And you get easily, like, I feel like you become more overwhelmed when you feel like you need to have an answer to everything that they say.
Mm-hmm.
And so just remember that you don't always have to have an answer, and you probably will not, right? Like, you could offer them your advice, but who knows if that's how they think. But I would say just being upfront. If you know, let's say that you know that you have a friend and you're going to meet up with them and they want to talk about something, just say, okay, I have an hour, right?
Oh,
keep that in your mind, you know, say, I have an hour to give to this person and I will give them an hour. And after that hour, I will leave, right? But you don't, so you don't have to hurt their feelings and tell them, hey, you're, you know, like, especially if they're going through a tough time, it's kind of insensitive to say, hey, you're burdening me with all of your
and that's true. Like, it kind of depends on what they're going through, you know what I mean?
Because there's sometimes
lost a parent or something, that's like,
oh, that's different.
That's different.
Whole
you know,
situation.
But if you're going through just life struggles, everyday struggles that we all go through.
So you're talking about drama. Like, they always have something
going
on.
There's always some negativity coming
along.
The 20-some
bullshit lifestyle.
It's like, man, we all got our own bullshit to deal with. You know, we don't want to.
I don't know, maybe you could be like, do you ever think about, like, how you treat them? You know, if they always, like, oh, this, like, this person, that. Just be like, do you ever sometimes, like, pause and think how they're feeling because of that? And then you kind of turn them to, like, a self-inward. They'd be like, oh, wait. I never reflected on my, like, actions.
Yeah, I think that's, like, indirectly saying things.
Just start putting it all around them. Just start be like, what about you? What have you done? They go, wait, hold on.
But then,
that's that whole
I've had friends that I take it personally, you know?
Yeah.
Then they switch it back on you now. It's like Russian roulette.
Well, I don't But I mean, it goes back to what you said earlier. It's not what you say, it's how you say
It's how you say it. That's true.
You just got to keep in mind that. You know,
you're like, no, you go.
So we talked about a lot of misadventures that all of us individually have been through in our early 20s, and now going into, we're like, all of us are going into our mid-20s and later 20s. So my advice, Fabima, I would start with you, would be, what would be your biggest advice? I mean, your best advice to somebody in their early 20s right now about...
Even if it's to your own self, like, you can reflect back and...
What would you give
advice to your younger self?
That's actually an easy one.
Okay.
and this is from my experience, but then I've seen others do this too, is... I feel like if there is a time to make mistakes and explore, it's in your early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to do so, but learn from them is what I would say. Because you don't want to be in your 30s exploring. And it goes back to what I said earlier about not having to sacrifice certain parts of your life and prioritizing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, personally, what I did was I was so career oriented that I had no social life.
Aww.
And now I'm going through the motions of the social life stuff, right? And it's not fun. And so, like, it's okay to, you know, explore, do your thing, have fun, just prioritize and learn from your mistakes.
Ahmed, what would your advice be, or even advice to yourself in the misadventures of your 20 sons?
I mean, I'll tell you to be independent before you even like get into like marriage. If you're still living at home, you didn't experience that finance, that bill, you know, that first of the month, that hustle, the anxiety, like, oh shit, man, I gotta come up with my rent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you have to make sure that you're set like in that
area.
Just doing what you've always wanted to do. I mean, don't wait until... I don't believe in, like, wait till marriage to, like, travel or whatever. Like, I think you should do that before, you know, or even together. But you should want to explore places that you've always wanted to go to, meet different people around the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can find your, like, identity when you go to places or get out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. So just getting out of your comfort zone is, like, very vital, I believe.
I agree.
You know, in your early 20s. Because you don't want to wait. you're 30 and then you realize, oh shit, man, what did I do in my 20s? You don't want to have that like regret.
Make mistakes, y'all.
Yeah, and that mistakes that I don't talk about, like, do that. Don't be afraid to, like, don't be afraid of the unknown. Yeah.
Henny, what advice would you give for your misadventures of the 20s?
Well, I spent a lot of my early 20s just kind of wanting to grow up and never really paused and experienced the life that I was in at that moment. Yeah. I was just so quick to just wanting to grow up so much I was just like, oh, like if I don't grow up, if I don't get to this, if I'm like nowhere. Yeah. And I just kind of wish I told myself, breathe.
Yes.
Really just like take a quick breather and then just honestly live in the moment. Live in the moment that you're in right now. Do everything you want to do right now. Like, what's stopping you from doing that?
That's
so that's an advice I wish I had known at a younger age. It happens at your own pace.
Yeah.
It'll happen when it happens for you. You just got to work to getting the goal that you want to get to.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Look at us guys in our mid-20s talking about the growth. I like that. I like that. So before we get into finishing up the show, normally we always do the lady of the hour, gentleman of the night. We've decided to switch it up this time, and it's going to be called our ideal lady of the hour, our ideal gentleman of the night. Like, just basically our ideal
partner.
Partner. But who is the guys' lady of the ideal lady of the hour / gentleman of the night? I will start with you, Ahmed.
Yeah, of course. Start with me, right?
Men first in this movie. They always want
to
be first.
I mean, just going back to that style too, you know, respecting each other's space. The independence, having your own lane, someone who cares about their self-love and like...
values themselves.
They value their health and...
somebody with the same values as you?
Yeah, basically.
If you had to pick a celebrity person, who would you say, like, just off tops, without even getting to know them on another level, like, because you don't know them personally, obviously, because, you know, they're a celebrity and you're not. Not to hurt your feelings.
No.
But who would you pick as your lady of the hour then?
So not Lathan.
Yeah. That's your ideal girl? I love her.
Mm-hmm. I just feel like she just has that really, like, grown folk image, you know.
She's had that for years, too. It's, like, decades of that.
And, like, she doesn't age.
She's very beautiful. All right, Fatima, then what is your ideal?
That's easy.
Common.
Oh, that's
the
nice.
Rapper.
Oh, my God.
Because, like, what I want is a guy
Common.
Yeah, Common, the rapper.
I was like, who's that? Never mind, I do know.
Yeah, he's a little bit older, but I want a guy who's intellectual, who's in touch with his feelings. You know, who isn't afraid to express himself, who doesn't abide by the whole, like, I have to be macho in society.
A man that knows his own manhood.
Yeah. I mean, a man who's a man in his own right. He's the man who he wants to be, right? And I feel like, honestly, guys who do feel like they need to be macho and, like, tough all the time are actually
weak
on the inside and insecure.
Yeah.
So I feel like the more you know, you're able to express yourself and acknowledge your feelings, the more of a man you are.
Yeah. Because you're bottling all these emotions, and if you keep that in, then.
Because if you're afraid of what others think, right? And that's one thing I want, a guy who doesn't give a about what people think.
Yeah. I like that.
I like that too.
Me too.
MLA?
I would say I like somebody who's reserved. Like, I'm not into loud guys. Mm-hmm. Like, I always like the quiet boys way much more. Mm-hmm. I just don't like guys who are just, like, too loud.
Celebrity?
Kyrie Irving. Because he's really private. He's reserved. And I like it. And I don't know. He does a lot of good that people don't know about. Because he's just so quiet about it.
Yeah.
So I would choose that. What about you, honey?
I think my celebrity gentleman of the night is a mix of Mahershala Ali and Will Smith.
Oh!
Well, like, I like the
Henny,
privacy.
That's a good of Mahershala.
They both are very intellectual men. Like, I like the intellectual capacity of both men. But I like the privacy of Mahershala, but yet that balance of that lift up, that funny side of Will Smith. So, like, if they were both as one, they're, like, my ideal guy. But, like, also, like, a really good environment. Take care of the environment, people. Like, come on.
Yeah, Leo. Will Smith, put Leo in there.
Will Smith completely transformed IG.
He really did.
He came on IG, just took over. Like, I love watching his videos and shit because he's very positive, uplifting.
Yeah. Very, yeah. And that's exactly Jada, though. That's exactly
and Jada, too.
Point,
yeah. You know, that's why they're so great.
Jada's not like Sue.
Yeah.
Sue.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. All right, and that concludes this week's episode of Pow Talk Real Talk. Thank you to our guests, Ahmed and Fatima. We have appreciated this conversation a lot, actually.
And is there any social medias that people can find you?
Actually, that's me on my Instagram. But you can rock with me on Twitter, you know.
What's your Twitter?
I am Mally252.
So, Fatima, where can people find you? Mental health-wise?
IG.
IG?
Yeah, my username is FamaMN93.
How do you spell that?
FamaMN93.
I like that.
93, yo.
And actually, MN is not from Minnesota. It's my initials.
Oh, okay.
But thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. This was actually really fun. I was actually kind of nervous coming over here.
Yeah.
But now it's like, shit, I could do this again. Yeah. You know, really yeah. My cousins always wanted to do a podcast, so maybe I could hop on with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anyway, thank you guys for listening to this week's episode of Pal Talk Real Talk. Be kind to yourself, take care of your mental health, and do something good. And that's that.